Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in. Hi, let's go.
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
Thoughts on a Tuesday morning. Welcome back to the Everyday Saturday podcast. Sam Crowley, your host. It's Tuesday, November 10th, 2015. I hope your day is off to an amazing start wherever this show finds you. We are broadcasting live from Cincinnati, Ohio, home of the Everyday Saturday headquarters. It sounds so official, doesn't it? Actually, we're probably not live. If we were live, you and I would be on a Skype call or something like that. So it's a recording. It's on iTunes. It's the longest running motivational podcast on the planet. And it was launched just with a simple passion to help other people, like yourself, squeeze that last bit of toothpaste out of the tube of life. You can find us on iTunes. Make sure you subscribe to the show. And also, if you would be so kind, leave a 5-star rating so other champions just like yourself can find the show. They can be inspired. And it's our way of giving back to helping the entrepreneurial community, the individuals who don't believe that, look, I got to work, what, 5 days every day? In a row, just to ask for 2 days off. You know, it's funny. I remember it was 2005 when I hired a business coach. It was the first time I ever hired a business coach. I had no idea what even a business coach was. This wasn't, you know, where everybody and their brother and sister was a life coach. It was simply, I needed help. I needed answers. I couldn't navigate these waters by myself trying to figure out, you know, what am I doing? Am I even doing anything right? You know, who quits their job? Seriously? Who quits their job with 3 kids under the age of 5, one that was just born in October of that year? I mean, I hired this coach in right around that time, right when our daughter, Paige, was born. She might have been a few weeks old. And I used the last bit of space on my credit card before I lost everything to hire a business coach. Some people probably, I don't know, maybe they wouldn't have used anything. Maybe they would have bought a vacation, a big screen TV, couch, I don't know, furniture. No, I wanted to invest in what other people may know, preferably somebody that's actually been where I want to go, somebody that's been on an entrepreneurial journey. So I hired a business coach, Patty, a female, because I wanted a completely different perspective. I didn't want some male 50-year-old, 40-year-old, know-it-all, been there, done that. I wanted a fresh perspective from someone who wasn't exactly how I was, you know, thought differently. Had a different upbringing, but they had had success in the entrepreneurial world. And man, she had earned, I don't know, $100,000 a month consistently. And that was pretty cool to me. And she was a big believer. So we had that in common. She was a Christian. Not that I have to hire somebody that just believes in God, but it helped. You know, I just wanted someone who understood where I was coming from, but also had a completely unique perspective. And I remember Patty and I went on one of, I think, our very first coaching call, and this is when I knew we were going to click, when she said, you know, I think it's crazy, Sam. I think it's crazy people go to work every day of the week for 5 days in a row only to ask permission to take 2 days off, Saturday and Sunday, just so they can go back to work on Monday. And look, let's be honest. It's not like Sunday is this big vacation day that you get off. What do you do right around 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the afternoon? We've all had a job, and we've all had to go to work on Monday. Right around 4 or 5 o'clock on Sunday night, it starts to creep into your mind. Oh, man. It creeps in your mind a little bit before that, but this is when the volume starts to get turned up a little bit in your head. It's like, oh, man, I got to go in tomorrow. What do I got waiting for me tomorrow? I got this. I got that. I got all these different challenges and things I got to knock out. Oh, and you get that pit in your stomach thinking about everything that you need to get done on Monday morning. And I always thought that was so wild because it's not like you really have 2 days off. It's a mirage. You get 1 day off, and that was Saturday, that you wake up and guys, you know, we don't shave. We throw a baseball hat on. We go grab the newspaper. Remember, this was 2005 when newspapers were actually relevant. and you grab a cup of coffee, just kind of chill out. Maybe you don't even shower all day on Saturday, or you just do some yard work, mow the lawn. Lady, same thing. You know, maybe you go to the gym, or you go for a walk, or you hang out with your spouse or significant other, and you have a cup of coffee. Just chill out, you know. You maybe go shopping, go to the mall, whatever, you know. But it's a mirage that actually you get to do that on Sunday, because if you have any type of spiritual beliefs, then Sunday morning is off limits. That's all about, you know, spending time with your family, spending time with your Creator, going to your church, wherever that is. If you're Christian, if you're, you know, Saturday is your day of worship, you get it, right? So you would flip-flop Saturday to Sunday. So Sundays are off limits, because then really you're left with just a few hours in the afternoon before you start thinking about what it is you got to get going on Monday. And wow, this show, as I just think back how it's evolved and all the messages and all the individuals that have been impacted, not just by my message, but by them, by you that are listening to the show. You can go one of two ways. When you listen to a show like this, you can say, that's just not reality. It's not me. He doesn't get it. He doesn't know my problems. He doesn't know my story. And quite honestly, I don't ever profess that I do know your story. I do know one thing. We all share this one thing in common, is we were born on a certain date, and we're going to leave on a specific date. And here's the problem. We don't know when that day is. You know, we don't know the day or the hour that that's happening. And most people think they actually have time. And that's the craziest damn thing I still don't understand that. I'll get to it. I don't understand that phrase, I'll get to it. What do you mean you're going to get to it? Why don't you do it right now? Why don't you create that blog? Why don't you shoot those videos? Why don't you create that podcast? Why don't you go give that speech? Why don't you quit your job? Why don't you go do... Now, look, let me just take a quick time out. I would never recommend anybody quit their job like I did. It can be done. Obviously, I did it, and millions of people have done it. You just rip the Band-Aid off, and you go for it. But it puts a tremendous amount of pressure on you to succeed, and sometimes you don't make the best decisions when you're under a lot of pressure. So if you can at all keep your job, milk the man, and use the fax machine and the copy machine and the email and the Wi-Fi and all that good stuff while still performing and adding value at your job, you know, giving the illusion that you are adding value so they don't fire you. Truth be told, at least in America, most people do just enough work not to get fired, and the boss pays you just enough money so you won't quit. Okay, so let's just get that equation there. But why do you think you have time? Like, what's giving you the impression? You read the obituaries just like I do. You see the updates on the internet of people that have died suddenly. I just saw an article today. My wife showed me literally a half hour ago. We were just having coffee this morning about a 29-year-old. I think it was an ex-baseball player. And forgive me, I don't have the name right here, but I'm going off what my wife just told me in passing. She said, did you see that 29-year-old baseball player who died of organ failure? It must have been yesterday or a couple days ago. She saw it online. I said, no. Who was it? And she had said his name. I didn't recognize the name. She said, yeah, he was 29 years old, went into the hospital or emergency room and just died of organ failure. 29 years old. That's it. Never even saw his 30th birthday. I mean, I remember my 30th birthday. My wife had a surprise party. I remember my 29th birthday. My mom died 7 days later or a week later. It was the 4th of July weekend, 1997. My mom died July 7th. You know what's funny is July 6th. We were actually making plans. My fiance at the time, soon to be my wife Angela, went down to visit my mom in Bradford, Pennsylvania. And we were actually talking about our wedding that was coming up. And we were making big, big plans and had a great weekend, which my mom was kind of up and down. You know, she suffered from depression. She was an alcoholic, wasn't drinking at the time. Used to smoke like a chimney, man. Had like 3 packs of cigarettes. I mean, just in bad health. She was 69 years old. Pretty frail lady, but nonetheless, I mean, didn't think she was going to take her last breath. But you know what? That was July 6th that we were making all those big plans with mom. And on July 7th, that was it. That was her last day. We kissed her goodbye, drove back to Buffalo, New York. It's about an 80-mile trip from Bradford, PA to Buffalo, New York, where Angela and I lived at the time. And got the call the next day. Mom died on the couch, cigarette in hand, burnt down to her fingers, and just sitting there in our room that overlooks our backyard. Very peaceful, very calm. Nonetheless, though, took her last breath. And she thought she had time. You know, mom thought she had time. We all think we have time. It's a huge illusion. Look, if you get one thing out of today's podcast, you don't have time. You're getting closer to the last day on earth than you are to your very first day on earth. And I think the problem with most people is they take that so damn casually, as if, well, it's not going to happen to me. I'm not going to go into that doctor's office and get that diagnosis. I'm not going to be driving down the road and somebody's going to cross the double line. I'm not just going to be lying in bed and not wake up. Well, you know, it happens a lot every single day, every second of every day. What makes you think it wouldn't happen? Now, my prayer, my hope, is it doesn't happen to me anytime soon. I hope it doesn't happen to you anytime soon. But to live as if it's not going to happen, that's stupid. We know that. That's stupid. We are all like avoiding the big elephant in the room. It's like the appointment in Samara. Are you familiar with that parable, the appointment in Samara? Death went to visit this gentleman. And I'm gonna butcher the story, but I know the premise of the story. So if you're familiar with the appointment in Samara, then don't hold it against me. And if you aren't, it's a very simple parable. It's the gentleman that he was informed that death was going to pay him a visit on that day. And so he ran, and he packed up all his stuff, and he was on his way to Samara, a town not local to where he was. And on his way out of town, on his way to Samara, he stopped into the local grocer to pick up some stuff, and there was death waiting. And the gentleman was taken aback, and he looked at him, and he said, "Why are you here? You're not supposed to visit me here." And Death said to him, "You know, I'm surprised you're here as well, because I have an appointment with you later in Samara." So as this individual tried to avoid Death, Death was going to be meeting him later on that night in Samara. It was already planned. It was a done deal. And there's nothing this individual could do to run from it. My goal for you is, as you listen to these podcasts, understand to put a sense of urgency to your life, put a sense of urgency to your business. Whatever that means to you, whatever that means, lighting the match, put the fire to put it in your belly, man, and get it going. Because people see you. They'll see you're on fire. Just like the intro to this show, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn. But if you're just some vanilla milquetoast and you don't have a lot of intensity to what you're doing, your sales are going to lack. Your personal life is going to lack. People around you are going to be like, "Oh, I don't want to be around." They're going to send your calls to voicemail. Okay, because boring people have their calls sent to voicemail. Nobody picks up, you know. Funny, though, when you got a lot of excitement, a lot of energy, people don't send you to voicemail as much because they want to hear you. They want to be around you. And when you have a product to sell and a service to offer, they're going to buy it and they're going to invest in you. They don't buy your product. They don't buy your service. They buy you. So don't act as though you got a lot of time. Get the fire going. It's okay to be excited. Don't worry. The people that don't have excitement, they'll walk away from you. And the ones that want to be around you, they'll take you to places that you never dreamed of. Are you with me? Sam Crowley. Have the best day ever.
Thank you for listening to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter at Sam Crowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Every Day is Saturday.